It's often said that the sacking of Gough Whitlam dramatically changed the course of this country. Has your role in trying to understand what actually happened and fighting for that knowledge, has it changed you?
Look, I think it's changed the way I've looked at history and had confidence in the way that history is written. And it's made me very aware of the huge significance that access to archival documents has in how we construct that history as a written history. I mean, so much of what we were told and understood about the dismissal rested on Sir John Kerr's repeated statements, and Malcolm Fraser's for that matter, that they had not previously discussed this matter, that they had not reached an agreement before the dismissal, and Kerr's insistence, of course, that he did not consult with others, that he made his own decision, and certainly that he did not engage with the palace or the Queen on the decision he finally reached. We now know that all of those things, in fact, are not true. And we know of that because of these archival revelations. So I think that's the nub of this issue, is that without access to archives, we really can't write a full and complete history. And that's what's changed in my view of the way we write history.
Jenny, why do you think it was so important to uncover this information?
Well, because we didn't know the full story of the dismissal, and I think that's become abundantly clear in the years that have followed. What we always understood initially and were told by the key sort of protagonists in the dismissal is that it was essentially a contingent event. It was contingent on the fact that supply was blocked, that Kerr faced this really difficult decision as to what he might do in order to have supply passed. It was presented as though there was no other option for Kerr. And that's simply not the case. And I think that, as some of the speakers you've had on this morning have indicated, it does point to the fragility of our democracy, that if we have a Governor-General who feels that he has really untethered and unbounded powers at his own discretion under the notion of reserve powers, we need to be aware of that. We need to understand that. And I think there are changes we need to make to ensure that the sorts of excesses that we've seen in other countries and are seeing at the moment that do threaten the underpinnings of a democratic structure cannot happen in Australia again, and that we have a sort of safety valve around some of the things that Sir John Kerr did that were quite outrageously deceptive of elected government, and simply should not have happened.
Jenny, were you surprised by the level of pushback from the palace and others that this needed to go all the way to the High Court?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I only was able to really consider taking a case because I had already found so many extraordinary documents in Sir John Kerr's papers in our National Archives in Canberra, many of which pointed to his correspondence with the palace. He even quoted from some of that correspondence. He had kept extracts from some of the letters, so I'd actually seen some of these extracts. And from all of these things, I was able to sort of build a picture of what he was discussing with the Queen. And I was absolutely astonished, because it was clear that matters that went to the heart of the dismissal were raised with the palace from as early as September 1975. And so these letters, we'd always been told that was not the case. And in fact, Buckingham Palace had put out a statement, which now reads quite outrageously, saying that neither the Queen nor any member of the royal household had any part to play in the decision that Kerr made. And that is absolutely not the case. They did have a role, and they were a part of the decision-making process that Kerr went through, as I think David Solomon just indicated as well. So we did need to have access to these documents. They were closed by our National Archives under the guise that these were personal. So that letters, you know, which is just extraordinary, that letters between the two people at the apex of a constitutional monarchy, that is the monarch and her representative in Australia, were in any way personal, particularly when they're discussing matters to do with the dismissal of an elected government. So they were critically important. I understood their significance. And I was only able to take the case because of a pro bono legal team that clearly believed we did have an argument that they were not personal and they should be available to the Australian people. And I'm delighted that they now are.
What do you think are the most important elements of these documents?
Well, they've really, I think, together with some of the other material that has also come from Kerr's papers, particularly the role of Sir Anthony Mason, I think they're the two really what I call the tectonic shifts in what was the previously understood dismissal narrative. We now know that others were involved in Kerr's decision. We know that others had advised Kerr secretly. There was deception at the heart of the dismissal, and that deception flowed through to the way in which the history was then written. There's a couple of really significant letters for Kerr that indicate, for example, that Kerr spoke to Prince Charles, as he was then, our current king, in September 1975 during the PNG Independence Day celebrations in Port Moresby. And Kerr had kept a note reflecting on this discussion elsewhere in his papers. So I was able to see that, and it indicated, and he quoted Prince Charles saying to him that surely, Sir John, you should not be concerned that the Prime Minister might recall you when you are considering having to dismiss the government. So clearly Kerr has raised with Prince Charles all the way back in September, a month before supply is blocked, that Kerr is concerned that if supply is blocked and he moves to dismiss the government, that Whitlam might recall him from office. And he has had a conversation with Charles about that. So clearly the use of the reserve powers is in play. The prospective dismissal of the government is in play. And we know from the palace letters that Charles then went back to London and relayed that conversation to the Queen and her private secretary. And from that point on, the question of the existence of the reserve powers, the nature of the reserve powers, whether the power to dismiss in fact still exists, which was a highly contentious issue, is raised with the palace and discussed with the palace. They're critical documents, and they have changed the way we look at the dismissal.
Professor Jennifer Hocking, we sure needed to speak to you today of all days. Thank you very much for joining me on Changing Australia.
It's been a great pleasure. Thanks, Sally.